right. Well, I think this next performance is going to be a real treat. The Saliva Sisters, Byla, Uvula, and Drulia, have an unnatural act. Their blend of melody, mirth, and mucus have landed them the break of the lifetime. Poster girls for Cellulite Prevention Month. They are so new, so now, and so naughty that you'd never know their combined age is equal to national debt. So here they are, the best act in their price range, the Saliva Sisters.
Wow, look at you guys.
The Sunstoners.
A lot of whiteheads out here, too.
Yeah, this is great. This is such a fun thing for us to do, to be here with all of you. But I got to tell you, this is the first time the Saliva Sisters have ever followed an opening prayer. And I'm glad that we were here to share it with you. You know, there's this very clever guy named Spaff Sumsian. I've never met this guy, but we kind of worship at his webpage.
Where are you?
He wrote the cutest songs about Utah. In fact, we recorded one of them for the KUER parody contest. It was called Under Bear Lake, and it was the hardest song we've ever sung in our lives. We managed to get through there, but it really taxed that synapse between our brain and our mouth, which is getting kind of ragged around the edges as the years go by. So we kind of changed the lyrics to this next song a little bit, adapted them a little bit, but mostly this is Spaff Sumsian's work, and he's brilliant.
Is he here?
Are you here, Spaff? He said he might come, but you know what? Yeah, he probably didn't want to show up and be seen in public with us singing a song. All right, oh, here's our keyboard player, Eldon Jaundice. Sometimes known as Dan Waldus.
Everybody, starting over.
See what I mean?
It's brand new. I learned it. Oh my golly!
There we go.
Everybody, we've elected President Romney. How he won it, we ain't saying. But we heard the state of Utah had a prayin'.
It says our land needs reformin', 'cause it's not completely Mormon. Now protesters must yell softly, or the war on drugs will target tea and coffee. Oh my word, he's been selected.
Oh my gosh,
how unexpected.
'Cause he's quite distinctly male and white, despite his VP Gladys Knight.
For his talks with dignitaries, Mitch just sends the missionaries and state dinners. They're so mellow. All the heads of state bring casserole and jello,
of course. On Mount Rushmore, you can dig him. He is sculpting Brother Brigham. Our new anthem, gee, it's bitchin'.
We're all singing, hope they call me on a mission.
Who is it now?
Oh my
heck. The right wing trounces
Mormon lives.
So Mitch renounces
plural wives. But deep down they're okay, as long as none of them are gay.
Oh my flip, is he for real?
Don't mess with Mitch,
my man of steel.
That noble chin, those teeth, that hair, he squeaks, he's deep, those extra large big feet.
Well, I don't know where we're heading, but it might be Armageddon. So you doubters better move it, 'cause we're in the latter days and Mitt will prove it.
Darn right. They'll sustain the elder's quorum in the White House down in Orem. Gotta run now. This is awesome. They'll be swearing in Chief Justice Donny Osmond. Staff, he's delightful. You know, we've adopted this pretty blank space, this pretty great state. Sorry. But we think Utah suffers from a little PR problem. We think if more people knew about Utah, they just wouldn't use it as a gateway to Nevada. Actually, we're very fond of our adopted state of Utah. We've done a CD about Utah called Delusions of Granger.
When you go to Salt Lake and you meet Sister Blake,
that's a Mormon. Her idea of bling bling is a CTR ring.
That's a Mormon.
Let's get sealed, it's a deal. Shoulders to the wheel, and then we'll pay some tithing.
Have some kids, double-decker cribs, half of them in bibs, and each one of them's crying.
If you meet a Baptist and he's acting real pissed, it's the Mormon. They're all eating ice cream and they all want to sing in the choir.
If they think it's a sin, but they know they've got kin in the quorum.
Forgive me, but you see, here in Salt Lake City, we're all Mormon.
Everybody,
if
yeah.
They like it a bunch, when you serve them green punch, that's a Mormon.
13 kids in the van, and they're all Osmond fans.
That's a Mormon.
Pioneers came from far and near, settled down right here in this desolate heck hole.
Heck hole, heck hole.
Then we grew, 'cause we're true, couldn't get the Jews, but we finally got Negroes.
Negroes.
If they often say flip,
leave a 50-cent tip, that's a Mormon. They don't drink, they don't smoke, but they're sneaking a Diet Coke, which they love.
If they think it's a bore when they go door to door, just ignore 'em.
Forgive me, but you see, here in Salt Lake City, we're a Mormon. That's a Mormon.
Thank you.
Okay, well, that was great. It's going to be a tough act to follow. Before we get to the main event, we've got one more item here. We're going to do a top 10 list if Mitt were to become president. So I'm going to, can't do a David Letterman impression, but I could use a drum roll if anybody wants to kind of do one. So top 10 reasons. What would happen if Mitt Romney became president? Number 10. If Mitt were to win, number 10. No more secret ballots. We could simply manifest our support of the candidate by the usual sign. Number 9. The Secret Service would be renamed the Sacred Service. They would wear dark suits, sunglasses, earpieces, and CTR rings. Number 8, the vice presidency would be replaced by the first and second counselor. Number 7, at inaugural balls, everyone would have to dance a Book of Mormon with the part. Top 10 reasons. Number 6, NASA could commission a satellite to hide a Kolob. Number 5, all official government prayers would include the phrase that we might all travel home in safety. If Mitt were to win, number 4, the president would be expected to explain complicated policy in both layman terms and Lemuel terms. Number 3, at the inauguration, he would swear on the Bible as far as it is translated correctly. If it were to win, number 2, all foreign policy statements would begin with, "We believe." And finally, if Mitt were to win the presidency, number 1, the presidential limo becomes a black Suburban with a vanity plate. Are you LDS too? Okay, let's get started. I'd like to start by introducing our moderator. We're really pleased to have him. I understand he came to be with us from his family vacation. That is Doug Fabrizio. He's the executive producer and host of Radio West, a one-hour conversation call-in show on KUER 90.1 FM, Salt Lake City's NPR station, and nationally syndicated on XM Satellite Radio. He's the host of Utah Now, a weekly television broadcast on KUED. So let's give a warm welcome to Doug, and he will introduce the rest of the panel.
Welcome. Thank you very much for having us. Well, whether he likes it or not, questions of Mitt Romney's Mormon faith come up again and again and again in his presidential campaign. Romney has found a kind of shorthand for addressing yet, at times, dismissing the issue. But the fact is, for some Americans, it's hard to say just how many Romney's brand of faith matters immensely. Opinion polls show a significant portion of the electorate say they just wouldn't vote for a Mormon for president. Last month, a Newsweek poll had the number at about 27%. The Pew Research Center put the question to Republican primary voters. They found that 40% of evangelicals said they would be less likely to support a Mormon for president. A portion of the Christian right is troubled by the Mormon view of the universe, their ideas of eternal progression, the nature of God, their requirements for salvation. Many evangelicals, critical voters in the Republican base, of course, don't even think that Mormons are Christian. Now, on the face of it, the former Massachusetts governor is as appealing a character as you can get in politics. Successful and handsome, a bevy of clean-cut kids and grandkids, no skeletons in his closet, yet for some reason, a question looms over his candidacy. And the question tonight is why? What are the implications of Mormonism on Mitt Romney, the candidate? And what are the consequences of the candidate on Mormonism? Ron Scott is with us tonight. Ron was a journalist at Time Incorporated, was one of the founding editors of People Magazine, grew up in Salt Lake, is a graduate of the University of Utah. These days, he's an executive with John Hancock. He's written extensively about Mitt Romney, including a piece in Sunstone last year. Ron lives in Dover, Massachusetts, with his wife and 4 kids. And Ron Scott, welcome. Thanks very much for being with us. I just have to mention this, though, because it may give you some perspective to what he may or may not say. Ron served as an LDS missionary in New England under both Boyd K. Packer and Truman Madsen. Keep that in mind. John DeLynn is with us. John is Sunstone's new executive director. He's the founder of Mormon Stories Podcast. It's an internet radio show. John has worked in the computer industry for about 14 years, including some time at Microsoft. He spent a year at the management consulting firm Bain Capital, run at the time by, of course, Mitt Romney. John currently works for the Massachusetts Institute of Technology as the director of Open Courseware Consortium. He and his wife and 4 kids live in Logan, Utah. And John DeLynn, welcome to you. Rod Decker is with us. Rod has worked as a reporter, a talk show host at Channel 2 For some 25 years now, Rod grew up in Salt Lake, graduated from East High from the University of Utah, went to a graduate school at the University of Chicago. He also spent a year at Harvard as a Nieman Fellow. Before coming to KUTV, Rod was a columnist and an editorial writer for the Deseret News. Rod's, I think, three children have left the nest now, but he and his wife live in Salt Lake. Rod, welcome to you. John Schroeder is with us. He's the founder of Salmon and Schroeder Consultants, an environmental health and safety consulting firm. Also happens to be an ordained elder and deacon in the PCUSA. It's the largest Presbyterian denomination in the United States. John is also an experienced blogger. He regards himself as a moderate evangelical Christian, situates himself center-right in the political spectrum. John and his wife live in Glendale, California. John Schroeder, welcome to you. Finally, Lowell Brown is with us. Lowell graduated from law school at the University of Utah. He's an attorney, a partner in Arendt Fox, LLP, practices corporate health law. Lowell began the blog Article 6, which some of you may be familiar with. He's supportive of the Supportive of the candidacy of Mitt Romney. He has three kids. He and his wife live in Northridge, California. And Lowell Brown, welcome to you. Well, I want to begin kind of broadly tonight, if we could, and I want to begin with an image, the image, you think anyway, that Americans carry of Mormons. What has Mitt Romney's campaign, do you think, told us about how the rest of the country sees Mormons? And John DeLynn, why don't you start? What's the image you think most Americans have based on what they might have gathered?
Of Mitt or of Mormons generally?
Of Mormons. What's the image that America is dealing with now?
I think that I heard a John Stewart quote once that the Mormons are grateful for the Scientologists because they represent a group that can be viewed as a little bit more weird than they are. You know, Helen Whitney told us all last night, there's a lot of people who think Mormons are Amish. And so that when they're asked, you know, do Mormons, you know, use electricity, there is a large group of people out there who just have no clue who Mormons are. But I think universally, it's a bit schizophrenic. I think that on the one hand, I think we have gained a reputation of being clean, healthy, living, reasonably honest and fair people who are family-centered. I think that speaks well for us. On the other hand, there's the strangeness factor that I think is continuing to haunt us. I think there's just a lot of uncertainty and doubt. I like to think that every religion's probably gone through this moment of unfamiliarity with the general population. And so the truth is, not only do many of us not know our doctrines and history, but of course much of America doesn't know our doctrine and history. And so this is becoming the discovery phase of the trial, so to speak.
Is that the consensus of everyone here, that essentially what they know, they don't understand, it's strange or provincial, charming? What do you think? Ron, what do you think?
It's a shy panel.
Mormons want to be different and want to be seen as different, always have. Mormons were polygamists. They were polygamists in part because that set them apart. And in early Mormonism, the leaders were polygamists, and that was because they sort of in rejecting, but by becoming a polygamist, a man unfitted himself for American life and committed himself to the church and the church community. After polygamy, the word of wisdom was used to some extent as a boundary setter. Some Mormons, if they do not feel the cold blast of enlightened disapproval in their face, fear that they will lose their sense of direction. Mormons wish to be different. They wish to be a city on the hill. They wish to be a light unto the nations, and they want to be set apart. But they want to be set apart in a good way, and at times, while they want to be different, they want to be accepted as one of the guys. Mitt Romney would very much like to be one of the guys.
John Schroeder.
Yeah, I think the media certainly has a jaundiced view of Mormonism as weird. That would sum it up in a word. I'm not sure that's true of the general American public. I'll be frank with you. I think the majority of Americans go another religion. Okay, now they probably have an image that Mormons are a little straighter, a little cleaner, and wear whiter shirts than guys like me. But I'm not sure that they get into all that other stuff. Okay, what most people know of Mormonism is in fact polygamy and the pilgrimage, and it doesn't go much farther than that because that's what they learned in high school history. But I think, and maybe the Osmonds, and the Osmonds are so contradictory to that that I think they just sort of go, it's a bunch of religious people.
So they don't really register in the mainstream as much as maybe Mormons think they might.
I would say that's true. There's a huge media presence about it. That's undeniable. And the media is waiting to pounce, and every opportunity to paint Mormons as weird, the media wants. I don't believe that the majority of the general public is that way.
What's the essence of why so many people feel anxiety, or seem to anyway, those certainly measured by some of these opinion polls we've referenced, anxiety about a Mormon president? What's the essence of it? John Schroeder, you start. I'm intrigued by your idea.
There's two entirely different strains of thought there, okay? One would be the forgive me, I know most of you are political liberals, I'm not, would be the political liberal secular strain of thought, which is really afraid of Mormonism because they're really serious about religion. Unlike evangelicals like me, who sort of put it on and take it off when it's convenient. At least that would be the popular image. Lord help me if that's true of my faith. But
in that sense, Mormons fit into, you think, others, in the sense that there's a broad suspicion, perhaps on the left, of anyone who's overly devout.
That's right. Okay. That's right. And I think they share that about you all the same way they do about Jerry Falwell.
Okay.
and his alkalites. That's one strain, and that's the strain that we kind of on our blog talk about as the bigoted strain. There's a lot of just downright bigotry there. The other strain is right-wing creedal Christendom, okay? And to the right of me, by the way. And that's just pure sectarian debate, okay? Statistically, the creedal Christian community is moving the chairs on the deck of the sinking ship. Okay, everybody talks about the growth of evangelicalism as a church movement, which is a move away from the mainline denominations, Episcopals, Presbyterians, Methodists, into the evangelical, which are mostly independent congregations, although there are associations, and into the Southern Baptist movement. They're really just shuffling the deck chairs. The numbers of that group as a whole are not growing. Okay. Contrarily, Mormonism is exploding, statistically. And so there's a whole lot of I think, just pure sectarian jealousy. They're being successful, we're not.
It's interesting that you didn't talk about... You talked about jealousy. You talked about, from the left, you talked about this sense that, of, I guess, sort of general suspicion about people who are overly devout. You didn't mention the sort of theological questions that seem to get at or not some evangelicals. You don't think they register in the sense of concern when they're weighing presidential candidates?
Within a limited number of evangelicals, they're of terrible concern. I don't think the numbers are that big.
Interesting. Ron Scott, what do you think?
I think that one of the key things that we're going to find out here fairly shortly is how powerful the so-called Christian right is in this particular... Can you hear me? In this particular election cycle... My hunch, and it's only a hunch, is the Christian right is not nearly as powerful in this cycle as it was in the last presidential cycle, and that probably bodes well for Mitt Romney. Bodes well for Mitt Romney,
huh.
Indeed. And I think as he becomes more sure of capturing the nomination, I think he's getting very close to being in that position. He's not there yet. But we'll begin to see him slide more toward the center of the road than what we've seen heretofore. I disagree completely with the idea that the media, and I are one, so I'm a little bit prejudiced, is prejudiced against Mormons and against Mitt Romney in particular. I think what we've seen so far is the media reflecting what they're hearing from constituents and political leaders in the early primary states, most notably in South Carolina, and as they've talked about the weirdness of Mormonism. The media feeds on itself to some extent. And there's an old adage that if you get a story in the New York Times day after tomorrow, what am I supposed to do here? Talking to the mic. The day after tomorrow, you'll see subsequent stories in all the other newspapers, the wire services, and the magazines in the country. So if you're a PR person, the one place you want to get the story placed is in one of the big newspapers or one of the big magazines, because the cycle repeats itself and stories chase themselves for weeks. So it seems like the media is negative on Mitt, but in fact they're usually parroting what somebody else has written or said earlier on. But I think on balance, that we're going to find as we get into the general election season, that the media, particularly with the important media, the Washington Post, the New York Times, the Boston Globe, that they are very even-handed in the way that they address Mitt Romney.
And we'll move on. You think they'll move on from that issue, the question of his Mormonism, as they go along? Do you think the major, the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, they'll move on eventually from this question?
I think the Mormon issue is going to die here fairly soon. I don't think Mitt's going to address it. He's going to let third parties address it, and we will be moving on the Mormon issue before. People disagree with me on this, by the way.
Yeah.
I can see him waving his...
Well, we're going to talk about whether or not he should do a sort of JFK-like speech addressing it.
And I think he's very smart to let other people do his bidding for him.
Wow.
But at some point, he may sum that up.
Huh. Lowell Brown.
I'll just comment that there seem to be two different fronts in the religion wars as far as Romney is concerned. And on our blog that John and I have run for the last year and several months, we have probably seen everything that has appeared in the news media on this question. And it's been interesting to watch. To me, I think John might disagree with this a little bit, there is a problem amongst evangelicals. There's no other way that I can explain how poorly Mitt is doing in South Carolina than that. He's doing quite well in other parts of the country. He's tried hard in South Carolina, but he's really pretty far down polling-wise, and that's an important primary state for him. That's one front, evangelical. Then there is a group of them, hardcore, who are concerned. It's a complex thing. A lot of them don't know much. A lot of them do know something. A lot of them have concerns about doctrinal issues. On the left side of the spectrum, we have seen that whenever there's been an out front, blatant, open attack on Mormonism as weird, that has not come from the Christian right. They think Mormonism is a cult and so forth. The people who have come out and said this is a weird religion have generally been opinion columnists on what I would call the left side of the political spectrum. Damon Linker in the New Republic wrote a famous piece, Jacob Weisberg in Slate. A guy named Gary South, a Democrat political consultant, wrote something. Doug Woodward's piece was on the left side, and there are others. So I disagree with Ron on that. To the extent anybody's come right out and said Mormonism is weird and we should not elect as a president somebody who believes in such weird things, those attacks have come from the left and have come from fairly prominent people in the news media. And I don't want to be sounding like I'm bashing the news media as a typical conservative would do. I'm simply telling you what we have seen as we have monitored what has been written in the last year.
Right. This seems to me historically specific. Mitt Romney's dad ran for president, was briefly the front runner, and Mormonism was not an issue then. Why not? Why was it not an issue for George Romney? Why is it such a big issue for Mitt Romney? I think there are a couple of things. One, George Romney was close to John Kennedy, and John Kennedy had just made Americans feel that any religion was acceptable. More importantly, it seems to me, religion is now more important in our political life than it was then. Religion, partly for Republicans. Republicans have used religion. I don't mean that in a negative way. Religion's been a good thing for Republicans in the past eight or twelve years, and they've talked about religion. Religion has become more important in national policy. It seems to me that at this time, for Mitt Romney, the standard is different from what it used to be. The general rule on religion used to be this. If you wanted to attack a political candidate on his religion, the burden of proof was on you
to show that the religion was governmentally or politically relevant, something specific. JFK, he'll take dictation from the Pope if he's president because he believes the Pope's infallible. Well, no, he says, and people say no. In this case, there isn't very much politically specific and relevant that you say about Mitt Romney. They bring up Mormons didn't let black people have the priesthood until 78. That doesn't do much. Women, but the Catholics give him cover on that. That doesn't do much. Mostly, he mentioned Weisberg, and I haven't read the other columnists. Weisberg says Mormons are just dumb. They're like Joseph Smith's an obvious con man. And anyone who believes in that, I'm not going to vote for him. That's what he said. Now he said, now wait a minute, what about other religions? Well, they're old and we can put up with Jesus was born of a virgin. But Joseph Smith translated the Book of Mormon with the Urim and Thummim. I'm just not going to vote for anyone who believes in that. Now that is not specifically politically relevant. And so the rules seem to me to be different this time for Mitt Romney than they were some years ago, specifically for his dad.
Let me take different pieces of Rod's two points there. First, to the idea of whether or not his Mormonism defines who he is or may in some way manifest itself in the way he leads as a president, his foreign policy orientation, for example, or the way he thinks about domestic policy, any of those kinds of things. What do you think about that? What do you see in his positions, his political positions, his ideology that is somehow a reflection of his Mormonism, if you see anything at all? John DeLynn?
This response is one that I have to be careful that I could get myself in trouble on, but Good Morning America called me several weeks back to have me on Good Morning America before, and I'd never been on. But it was right after I had been quoted in the New York Times, and I was really angry because I saw a very distinct parallel, and I love the church, but I saw a very distinct parallel between the way the church has maybe acted in the mid to late 20th century and the way Romney was behaving as a politician. You know, when I worked at Bain, Mitt Romney was a legend. When I trained at Bain in Cape Cod, Mitt Romney was running for Senate against Ted Kennedy. I was just thrilled. So I had great hopes, and because he ran as a governor with some progressive positions that weren't all lockstep with the Republican Party, it made me feel like he was a man of integrity, someone that I could get excited about because he wasn't going to sort of walk lockstep with, you know, what you might expect as a Mormon. And so I became really discouraged when a few months before he was going to start the primaries, he signs up for a lifetime membership in the NRA, or he'd always been pro-choice. His father had been pro-choice, it seems. He changed that as well. And it felt like he didn't have convictions. It felt to me like his convictions were that he wanted to win. And he would make whatever policy or position he could that would help gain favor with him in the Republican primaries. And it reminded me a little bit about how in the church we've dealt a little bit with our history. We have this rich doctrine in history in the 19th century, and then somehow lately, when some of the tougher topics come up, it seems like we distance ourselves from them and don't really own up to what our doctrines were. And so I love the church. I understand why people say the things they say. It's a hard place to be. But I do feel, you know, I always hoped that the guy that represented my people, you know, he may have to deal with the black thing, he may have to deal with the polygamy thing, but he would be sweet on the integrity thing. Because that's how I think of Mormons, as honest, good people. And it was really sad for me, I listen to lots of political podcasts and talk shows, it was really sad for me to listen to like Left, Right, and Center or watch Meet the Press and have the comment be about Mitt Romney, can we believe anything the guy is saying? because he seems to have whatever position is going to help him win. So that's my long answer.
Thanks. Jump in, gentlemen.
Henry of Navarre converted to Catholicism and became king of France. Paris, he said, is worth a mass.
I think that this one?
Yeah.
Okay. The comment is a very interesting one because it goes right to the heart of what John and I have wrestled with as we've blogged about this over the last year or so. And I want John to jump in on this too, because as a non-member...
Lowell, let me interrupt you for 1 second. Is this on?
Keep talking.
We're selective. They're worried about the feedback. I'll try to...
How's that? Is that better? Hello, testing, 1, 2, 3. Is Peggy Fletcher out there?
All right, Lowell, go, try it.
Hello, how's okay. that? Okay. What was I saying anyway?
It was an interesting part of the blog.
Right, what was said earlier about disappointment in Mitt Romney goes right to the heart of what we're blogging about. And I guess the question is, does Mitt Romney represent the Mormon Church? And I think that's a fair question. To some people, he does. You know, we see him as our guy, and we hope that he will be a little bit better or different than other politicians. I just wonder if we extend that same expectation to Gordon Smith and Harry Reid and Jeff Flake and every other politician who happens to be a Mormon, or is it because Mitt's running for president? I don't know. But for our purposes, the question of what extent is the fact that he's a Mormon even relevant to his candidacy as for president of the United States? I think it's only marginally relevant, and I think a lot of people have reasonable basis for disagreeing with him and wondering about his sincerity because of the changes in positions that he's made. That's a problem for him. I think that once we make it a problem because of his faith, then we start to hold up candidates to their faith. Is Rudy Giuliani a good Catholic? Is Sam Brownback a good Catholic? Is Huckabee a good Baptist? I think that's a dangerous path to go down in this country, and I'm not sure that we want to do that. John, you want to chime in?
Why is that dangerous, though? What's wrong with rejecting a candidate because of what they believe, their spiritual view?
The history of our nation, by the way, let me recommend this book. I finished it on the plane here. It's called American Gospel by John Meacham. It's a marvelous book exploring the history of religion in the country and how our Constitution was written. And Meacham's primary thesis, and I think it's an excellent one, is that we have, Abraham Lincoln's phrase was a civic religion. Benjamin Franklin's phrase, which is the one that Meacham preferred, is a public religion, which is deistic at best, and that's something that Americans share. The vast majority of Americans believe in a deity. They believe in a greater good. They believe in America as an inheritor of some sort of divine guidance. The rest of it is sectarianism, and our Constitution is decidedly non-sectarian and unsectarian. It does not what it tries to say is we are above that. Okay, I did a series of posts on our blog, gosh, it's been almost a year ago now, based on Kathleen Flake's book called The Politics of American Politics of Religious Identity, where she wrote about, what's his name, the senator, Smoot, Reed Smoot's seating and the great hearings that went on about that. I've argued, and please forgive me if I offend people with the use of this terminology, where I argued that the Smoot hearings and the changes from the manifesto through really about the end of the Smoot hearings in 05 or 06 represent what I like to refer to as a Mormon Reformation, where Mormons learned what the rest of us learned in the founding of the nation, which is that what's American is that governmental authority is higher than church authority. Okay? That's what you all learned when you gave up polygamy, when you decided to join America, when you became a state. Okay, that's the nature of being American. We share our public religion,
Our sectarian religion, our private religion is ours. And that's the nature of how our nation's been put together. And so to the extent that Mitt Romney has a faith, it matters because it makes him one of the vast majority of Americans. To the differences, to the theological differences, that is something that's Mitt Romney's business. Okay, just as my particular Calvinistic theology is my business.
But let me sort of pose a scenario that may offend a few. It's kind of dicey, I'll give you that. A political candidate emerges on the scene. Perfect credentials, spot-on charisma, unquestioned integrity. You like everything about him except this one thing. This person, John Doe, we'll call him, believes that in the last days, the righteous will be transported via a spaceship, a real one, not a metaphorical one, to another dimension through a wormhole. Now, would the fact that he believes this give you pause about whether he should be the leader of the free world? John DeLynn.
Yeah, that's not dissimilar to Scientology type beliefs.
Well, it's the way that a lot of people think of Mormonism, let's be honest.
Right. I have to admit I'm being unfair and unrealistic. I'm projecting my love and my passion for my people on this guy, thinking, yes, I want him to represent us in all the best ways. It's unfair, it's unrealistic, I'm being selfish. I will say that it's a tad bit sad when sort of the message that we get is, don't expect the Mormon guy to be any better than the Catholic guy or the Lutheran guy. You know, they're all just sort of going to do their thing. And the religion really isn't going to inform, because religion's so pervasive. But if I think about if my daughter was going to date a Scientologist, I don't know much about Scientology. I'm not trying to bash them. I just know what I've seen on South Park, which is where many people learn about Mormonism, by the way. And their beliefs are very strange to me, because it does deal with spaceships and aliens and spirits and volcanoes and things that seem crazy to me. And so, yes, I would be concerned about my daughter marrying a Scientologist until I really came to understand it. And so I see at least four issues relating to Mormonism that I think voters have a right to care about. And they are the following. First and foremost, it's in Mormon scripture that the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is the one and only true church, and that all other churches, their creeds, are an abomination. That's sort of a condemnation, a very direct condemnation. Now, the Pope helped this out a little bit last week or the week before by saying a similar thing. But, you know, that's something that Christians might take offense to, that they should know about Mormon scripture. The second is that God was once a man. To us, that may not seem strange. It seems like we're distancing ourselves from that doctrine. But to an evangelical, I think the nature of God is probably important to them. And so if they think that we believe that God was one of us once, I think they have a right to know that and to be concerned about it and to weigh that in. We can't just tell them that someone's belief in God shouldn't be important to them. And then the final two, the final one I'll just say, well, polygamy is still on the books. We're still practicing polygamy just in the temples. So when we say we don't do polygamy anymore, that's not a doctrine, it's not doctrinal. We're not being honest. We still do practice polygamy in the temples for people who are planning on having their second or third spouse in the celestial kingdom. And so that is truly Mormon still. And then the final one is race. And it's not so much the black, it's the Hispanic. It's still doctrine that Native Americans or Hispanics are descendants of people who are cursed dark because of their skin color. And the Hispanic vote might care to know that Mormons believe that their dark skin comes as a result of the curse put upon their forefathers. I mean, maybe that's relevant. So Mitt Romney may choose to distance himself from all of that, but then what does it mean to be a Mormon?
If you're saying consequences be damned, embrace who you are. If you are a Mormon, embrace the dynamics of your religion, be up front with it with the American people, and let the chips fall where they may?
Well, not if you want to be president. And that's why I'm not his consultant, right?
So a straight-on, full-fledged Mormon, upfront about the questions, the sort of the peculiarities about theology, the particulars of their past, cannot, in the 21st century, at least not yet, be elected president, in your mind.
I think we're going to have to go through this purging. And so there's a part of me that wanted this cathartic moment where Mitt Romney takes the heat and he basically takes the bullet for all these doctrines that the rest of us are now confused about. What does it mean to be a Mormon anymore? I'm confused. And so, yes, I sort of envision him rising up as a sacrificial lamb. He gets hit by all these strange doctrines, forces the church to sort of clarify for all of us what really is doctrine and what isn't, what's scripture and what's not. And then from there, the next guy who ran for president who had a shot, the Mormon question would be a non-issue.
Huh. So
we have to have this purge.
All right. Low Brown.
What John is saying is he wants Mitt to be the Al Smith to JFK. Al Smith ran in 1928. He was a Catholic. He was battered for being a Catholic, and he was the sacrificial lamb for Kennedy, who was able to be elected a few years later. Maybe so. Just a quick comment about Mormon weirdness. It is a fact that Sam Brownback is a man of faith, running as a man of faith, and as a Catholic. Now, and this is going to sound like whining, but it's not. Hear me out. Nobody is asking Sam Brownback if he really believes in transubstantiation, which to most people would be a very weird thing and a macabre thing to believe in.
Even to me, by the way.
Even to our evangelical
but
Christians.
But in the earliest days of Christianity, Lowell Brown, that was strange.
Okay, that's
Judeo-Christian world has put that aside as being strange, fair or not.
That's
right?
My point. Now, yeah. Also, the miracle of Fatima occurred after the golden plates were translated by Joseph Smith, and Mother Teresa, who's up for sainthood now, has performed a miracle, according to the Pope, in the last few years. And so nobody's questioning that. Why not? Because, as Jacob Weisberg said, those are old religions. We're used to them. Mormonism is kind of new. We're not used to it yet. And so, therefore, it is fair to make fun of their weird beliefs. I mean, that's really the kind of logic that we're talking about here, I think. And so
It's not about making fun. It's just about clarifying.
Okay, well, do you think that, does anybody think that Brownback should clarify what transubstantiation means to him and what he really thinks about Fatima and what he thinks about Sister or Mother Teresa's miracles? I mean, that would make him look pretty weird, too, and would put a lot of spotlight on his Catholicism and on his belief in the miraculous. Should a presidential candidate be forced to speak on the national stage about his belief or her belief in the miraculous? That's an interesting question. I don't think so, but I can see how other people disagree.
Ron Scott, what do you think?
I didn't have anything to say.
Ron Scott, sorry.
Well, I think Mormons and Southern Baptists get precious about this stuff. I don't think that Mitt or any presidential candidate, whether it's Harry Reid, who, by the way, is more like my personal politics than Mitt Romney, has to account for all the Mormon beliefs and traditions and teachings and policies and so forth that have been bugaboos for the last since the beginning of time, since the beginning of Mormonism. And I think the pragmatic approach, if you want to be president, if you want to be in the game, if you want to play the game, you got to play it. You got to play it well. And if you don't get in it. But if you get in to win, and get into be serious about it. Get into in ways that are convincing to your electorate that you can represent their views, even if you don't happen to agree with all their views. I recall when he ran for the Senate in Massachusetts. A neighbor of mine, a Catholic, I live in a relatively well-educated town and relatively well-to-do, and that probably is an understatement. And this Catholic father, who was my neighbor and was the father of eight children, got to me and he said, "What the hell does Mitt Romney believe?" And he said, "I'm a Republican. I'm gonna vote for him." But if you know him, and I did at the time, if you know him, tell him to put a stake in the ground and be who he is, because I'm going to vote for him. And I know that some of the things he's saying, this is when he was taking more of a pro-choice stand than he is now. I'm going to vote for him, and I know that what he believes in is not what Mormons believe in. And I was on the internet at the same time, and a lot of people were saying the same thing on the other side of the fence. Well, I know that the brethren don't endorse choice. Mitt must have lost his way. Surely a disciplinary council will follow. And the answer to the question, that wasn't the case. And to someone, a liberal like me, the fact that he was able to say, well, here are my beliefs. Here are the beliefs of the people I've got to represent. I'm running as a representative of the people. How do I adjust my personal spiritual beliefs so I can serve as a representative of the people who are going to elect me? And I think there's a valid and good argument that can be made for subordinating your religious beliefs so you can be an accurate and fair and even-handed representative of the people that elect you. God knows it would be lovely if all politicians believed like that and were willing to say, well, you know, I may not agree with you, but I hear what the consensus of the electorate is saying, and I'm going to represent that particular point of view. To get back to the final points, I think it's foolish, really foolish, for any of us to think that Mitt Romney needs to account for the doctrines of Mormonism to the world. I've lived in outside of Utah all my adult life. I have spent a considerable amount of time in the South. I think that is the only part of the country that thinks that Mormons are weird. And I think it's high time that people in Utah and people here, we tend to talk to ourselves a lot about how weird we are and how much we want to be different from the rest of the world. And out there, we're not that weird, and we need to begin to realize the fact that we're pretty much like everybody else, maybe a little bit different, but we're not as much as we like to think we are.
That's interesting. John Schroeder, what do you think?
We've wandered a little bit now. I was gonna point to a post that we put up. It's been the better part of a year ago that was written by a friend of mine, a guy by the name of John Mark Reynolds. He heads the Torrey Honors Institute at Biola University in Southern California. Biola is a good Baptist institution, but one of the more thinking institutions within that particular tradition. He wrote what has become, in my mind, the definitive piece on where religion applies. And he talks about what you look for religiously in a candidate. And he has three basic principles, and that's why I brought my laptop. I can look this stuff up.
Yeah.
First, the religious beliefs of the candidate should be held by a significant number of people and by a group willing to defend them, even if unsuccessfully, in a rational manner. Now, Mormonism is what? It's in the top five of religions in terms of number of adherents in the United States. It may be even two or three now, I'm not sure.
Four.
Okay. And certainly we've got a group of people here who are quite willing to deal with their Mormonism on an entirely rational basis, so I think we qualify there. Second, the group in question should not have religious claims that will naturally lead to horrific or at least far-out public policy. Well, there go our Islamists, okay, which is the big question everybody asks. Would you vote for an Islamist? No, I wouldn't, and there's why. Okay. And third, the group should have a long track record of generally playing by Republican rules in areas where it is the dominant group. No group is perfect, but the presidency is too powerful a prize to trust to a new group that might have secret authoritarian leanings. 100 years ago or 200 years ago when Joseph Smith ran, the Mormons probably would not have qualified by that particular standard. But this is today, and we've been through a lot of history. And Mormonism has brought itself, as I said, and I believe that's the period when it happened, where it has joined the mainstream of American thought in the proper place of religion in government.
So I want to sort of go back to your sort of two strands of thought about why you what is it the essence of the anxiety for some people. Say it again after this. Now, what are people worried about then? I mean,
quite frankly, when it comes to evangelical Christians, evangelical Christian leaders. It's a small group of evangelical Christians, okay? There's really, you can almost, it's not down the middle, but you can draw a line between Richard Land, Al Mohler, the Southern Baptist group of evangelical Christians who have concerns about Mitt's faith, okay? And the Rick Warrens, Bill Hybels.
Concerns about what? About the theology?
Well, Land just says he needs to give a JFK speech. Mohler is concerned that a Mormon president will aid the spread of Mormonism throughout the world, and therefore people's souls will not be saved because Mormonism will be accepted.
Right.
To which I say, if you accept a faith because of who's president of the United States, it's not much of a faith. But so they have concerns, but
that's institutional jealousy. It sounds to me.
That's your point. Yeah.
I won't say that if this room was filled with the evangelicals, but I'll say that here. Okay, but then there's Rick Warren, who Mitt's met with on several occasions, I know. Bill Hybels, who runs a huge mega church in Illinois. Those guys who are more moderate, more mainstream, they don't have a problem with this at all. Okay, there is amongst more rightward leaning evangelical Christians, there is some concern simply because they're different. It's unknown. Okay, because they, again, aside from polygamy and the pilgrimage, they don't know.
Do you think Mitt Romney has more to worry about with the sort of unaffiliated members of the electorate than those who are religious? That is, again, the sort of secular left?
Yes, I do. Absolutely, I do. I think his problem is much more there. I think that if you think there's a religious question now, watch what happens when it's Mitt versus Hillary.
What did you make of in the...
I really disagree on that, but we'll see.
You think he doesn't have to worry about...
No, I think that his... That obviously, God does not agree with me. I think the Mormon issue... if Mitt gets into the general election, the Mormon issue becomes a non-issue.
The people on the left are thinking, well, who cares? I don't really care about his faith.
The answer to the question, he looks like us, he talks like us, he went to the right schools... what are we going to say here?
So do you think the left is more...
Is this a can of worms that a liberal really wants to open up on the campaign trail? And I think the answer to that question is absolutely not. They would have their head handed to them in a heartbeat. The press would rise up against them and say, how can you...
It's never the candidate, you know, with Swift Boat. It's never the actual... It's not going to be Hillary saying, hey, Romney, you know, what about the polygamy thing? It's going to be some... you know, we don't know who the leader is of this small nonprofit group who's going to come out with some video that goes to YouTube and it says, here's four things Mormons believe. Do you really want to believe in them? And Hillary's going to go, oh, that's horrible. That's shameful. Whoever did that video should be run out of office, you know. I agree that he's not going to be attacked by the candidates, but sort of by the supporting groups. That's all.
Rod Decker? Go ahead.
It seems to me it's a two-phase process, and he has one problem in the first phase, and that's mostly the evangelicals. And the first phase he has a direct problem, the evangelicals, but bigger may be an indirect problem. The indirect problem is this. A lot of smart, moderate Republicans are going to say this. I don't have any problem with Mitt's religion. I think it's fine if he's a Mormon. I'd vote for him. But he can't win. Rudy Giuliani can win. I'm going to vote for Rudy Giuliani because what we really need is a winner. And so he's got a double problem getting through the people who really don't like Mormonism and the people who are afraid of the people who really don't like
it. So it's more political pragmatics than anything to do with his religion.
Well, it's double. There's a real... They've spoken of the evangelical problem, and then there's the problem that Rudy's electable and Mitt isn't. Then he gets into the... Supposing he gets the nomination. A lot of liberal, secular people are really? Can you hear me in the back? A lot of liberal secular people are really a bit scared. George W. Bush scares them a little. He says we need to teach intelligent design along with evolution. I don't think he said we need. He said I think maybe it's okay to teach intelligent design along with evolution. Will Mitt say that? Well, no, he won't. But a lot of people don't know that. Will he go and pray when he decides whether he's going to go to war? Well, yes, he will. Will he then read Scripture and say, and some verse in the Book of Mormon, will that decide whether we go to war? Well, I don't think it will, but there are people who generally worry a little bit about that. So I think in the first phase, he's got one problem. But in the second phase, I don't think religion's going to go away. In the second phase, secular people fear hard religion.
Period.
and that they fear choice, they fear gay rights, they fear, and then they fear these other things I mentioned, and they fear religion, and they especially fear hard religion. Mormonism's Mormons take it seriously, and.
Well, that gets back to the 94 campaign and where Mitt made some real headway, because he really demonstrated for people like, I assume most of you, as he did for me, that a Mormon wasn't so easily defined, that all of a sudden a Mormon could be pro-choice and not get himself in Dutch with the powers that be. All of a sudden a Mormon could be accommodating of people who are gay or lesbian. And at one point in the campaign, he was even talking about him being in favor of casino gambling. And if you're a Mormon like I am, and you're looking at this and you're saying, boy, this is not what I would have thought would have been possible in my lifetime, let alone at middle age. And so the question becomes, if he can convert that in the general election to once again communicate the idea that a Mormon can hit it down the middle, does the religion problem become a problem for him, or does it become a crowbar that he can use to persuade the voters that I'm a religious guy, but I see this side of the fence and I see that side of the fence, and I'm the guy who can bring things together. And I think that, I personally think that potential is there if he takes it. And the question in my mind, is he gonna demonstrate that kind of leadership as he moves into the general election season? I'll say one thing about Rudy Giuliani. He's got some major league problems. If you've lived in New York City, as I have, Mr. Giuliani is going to have some problems that are going to come up before he gets to the primary election. And I don't think he may be electable now in the polls, but by the time we get to February and March, I think he'll be a vice presidential candidate if he's that.
One of the things that's going on in this campaign that I don't know how many people are paying attention to is the left is desperately trying to claim evangelical stance. Okay, the fight for the soul of evangelicalism politically is on. Okay,
like Jim Wallace and people like that.
That's
like sojourners.
Exactly right. Yeah. Hillary's busy talking about her religious credentials, and Obama's busy talking about his religious credentials. So some of that's going on, along with the secular left.
Which is an acknowledgement that the right has sort of co-opted the moral values for years.
Sure.
Yeah.
Along with the secular left that just wants to delegitimize religion in politics in general. Okay. So part of what's going on is that because of an ignorance about Mormonism, and because of the weird factor, there are great forces marshaled against Mitt because of his religion, not so much because of Mitt and Mormonism, but because it is an opportunistic open door upon which they can expand to fight the religious voice in politics in general. And one of the things that I have argued consistently with many of my credo Christian brethren that are very concerned about Mitt's Mormonism is, you know, if you make that argument, you're next. Okay, and that bothers me a lot, because if we allow Mitt to be disqualified because of his faith, we're next.
A quote from Richard Land of the Southern Baptist Convention struck me in a Christian Science Monitor article. It read, last October at a gathering the Governor Mitt Romney, held for religious conservative leaders at his home in Massachusetts, Richard Land says he told Romney this: in my opinion, Governor, the Mormonism issue is not a deal breaker, but only you can close the deal. Only John Kennedy could make millions of Americans feel comfortable with voting for a Catholic president. Only Mitt Romney can make millions of Americans feel comfortable voting for a Mormon president. Should he approach the people? Ron Scott, we know what you're thinking about that. You don't think he should, but should he? What do the rest of you think about that idea? Should he do a JFK-like speech? Ron, you want to clarify?
Well, yeah, I don't think he should do a JFK-like speech. I think that he should do what he can to get third parties to address that, and for the past 2 years, that's exactly what he's been doing. One of the reasons why, if you look at the poll numbers, I think it was when the campaign began 2 years, when he began the campaign 2 years ago, I think it was like 19% of the nation said they would, the 98 number was that 19% of the nation said they couldn't vote for a Mormon for President of the United States or something like that. It was a low number. And then as we began to talk about Mitt and Mormonism, because he was out there campaigning openly and getting Mormonism out on the table, the number began to go up. I think we got as high as 37-38%, and in some places a higher number than that, which, by the way, is about the number who say they can't vote for Hillary as well, and it's a real problem for her. So I think he ought to address it. I just don't think he ought to. I don't think he can give a JFK speech. He's not as good a speaker as JFK is. He's going to sound like an apologist. I think the thing he did in Iowa this last weekend, quite by accident, was pretty good.
At the radio station?
Yeah. The radio station. And
how many people saw that? I'm just curious.
This was Jan
Mickelson,
WHO, during a visit. It was a 20-minute clip. You should look at it because it's really intriguing, and it's the most
it's
pretty effective, I think, way of addressing with it straight on. I don't think he even knew the camera was still rolling.
No, he did not know the camera was rolling, and that's what made it beautiful, because he lost his temper, which showed he was human. And at one point, one of the great lines was, pardon me, time out, I've been a Mormon all my life.
I've been a bishop,
state
president.
Do you think I might know a little bit about Mormonism than you do? and it went on like that, and I think in that kind of context, addressing his Mormonism, that is good and valid, and I came away from watching that interview saying, right on. This is exactly what you need to do.
John DeLynn, you want to see that, don't you? I'm a Mormon, damn it. Take it or leave it, right?
I selfishly want that, but I don't think it's going to be good for his presidency. I think, you know, those of us who may listen to NPR or read the newspaper a lot, we know about the JFK speech. But Middle America, and I'm not trying to be condescending, it's not about who's smarter, it's just about where people spend their time and where they get their information. I think a lot of people don't know the history about Catholicism and JFK. So I think he does need to remind America that we don't want religious litmus tests. So I think he absolutely should do that, and I think he should continue distancing himself from church doctrine if he wants to get elected. I would do the same thing
But in the end, you'll have no respect for him when he becomes.
No, I will. I will. My desire is to see this stuff come to a head is more for the people out there who are confused or maybe in pain or trying to reconcile with their own faith journey. So that's the Sunstone part of me coming out. But I think he's got a lot of strong, great qualities. I don't think it's his job to explain Mormonism away. I do think it's fair for people to say that that's an important issue. But I think he should do it, and I really do wish him well, you know, as a Mormon.
John, I have to disagree. I don't think Governor Romney is distancing himself from his Mormon faith at all.
That's the case he made at that Iowa radio
station.
That's
exactly right. And the how many people have read Hugh Hewitt's book, A Mormon in the White House? Okay, well, it features two really good bloggers in a couple of places. But
he's a conservative talk show host.
Yeah. Hugh spent, I believe, what was he say, 6 hours with Governor Romney in interviews, and has an entire chapter devoted to Governor Romney's Mormon life. He talks about his service as a stake president, as a bishop, okay, in great detail. Governor Romney talks about his faith and what it means to his life and what he's done and what he's practiced. I don't believe he is in any way running away from it, but he is saying it doesn't matter. I'm not running for national pastor. I'm running for president of the United States. Okay, and that's a tradition that's long honored in this country. William Howard Taft was a Unitarian, okay, and broadly criticized because he was a Unitarian. Teddy Roosevelt wrote op-ed after op-ed after op-ed in defense of Taft, saying, I don't care that he's a Unitarian. Okay? And neither should you, Americans. So this, in some ways, there's nothing new about this. And Taft said, yes, I'm a Unitarian, but I'm running for president. That's all Romney's saying. I do not think he's distancing himself from his faith.
Laura Brown?
one event that stands out in my mind, I don't know if anybody here watched the New Hampshire presidential debate. Usually only people like John and me watch debates at this stage of the campaign. There was a point during which Romney was asked about his religion and whether that would be an obstacle for him. And he said he stated what he believed, and he stated some sort of generic Christian beliefs. He said, I believe in Jesus Christ, I believe in God, I believe we're all children of God, and he expects us to live a certain way, and I won't distance myself from my faith. And there's a pollster named Frank Luntz who has focus groups, and Luntz has this interesting technique where he has a focus group in a room watching the debate, and they have little dials, and they turn the dials down or up depending on how what the speaker is saying and the candidate is saying affects them. And he showed the next day on one of the morning shows those graphs superimposed over Romney answering that question. And the numbers literally went off the charts. And people really approved of what he said, in which he explained some basic beliefs and said that he wasn't going to go farther than that.
Basic generic Christian beliefs, right?
Without getting any detail.
Yeah, didn't mention the Book of Mormon, did mention the Bible.
Yeah, right, and people really liked that, and all the focus group people were interviewed, and the comments from them were, you know, people should stop asking him about that. So I'm not sure what that means. I was struck by it. I think it might back up what Ron is saying, that when we get to the general election, maybe this all goes away. I don't know.
Well, yeah, the thing to keep in mind about New Hampshire, apart from the fact that it's a suburb of Massachusetts, is that one of its congressmen was Dick Sweat, who was LDS, and Mormons have been in New Hampshire for a long time. They're relatively well known. New Hampshire, you'll recall, the license plate says "Live Free or Die." So the Manchester Union Leader was arguably the most conservative newspaper in the entire country. So a message that Romney has about religion and what he's saying about religion is likely to resonate there pretty well, as opposed to South Carolina.
Let me ask, as we sort of are rounding toward the end here, the implications for Mormonism itself. What does the Mitt moment, so-called, mean for Mormonism? What kind of an opportunity is this for Mormons? One question from the panel description, the Sunstone panel description, that I found particularly compelling, read this way: will outsider eyes force Mormon leaders and members to re-examine commitments to various doctrines, practices, and aspects of its history? What do you think to the question? What does this moment mean for Mormonism? Is it an opportunity, or is it one of those things where you need to be careful what you wish for? Lilla Brown.
I think it means many things, but one is that the Al Mohler and other evangelicals fear that Romney being elected president, and by the way, I don't know if anybody else feels this way, but when I hear the name President Romney, I go back about 20 years. I don't think of President Romney.
You think of Marion G? Is that what you're thinking?
That's right. I just was struck by that when the singers were singing. Anyway, he fears that the election of a Mormon president would mainstream Mormonism. And they find that dangerous. They find that it would become more acceptable and perhaps more people would join. And he says, and I think he's sincere, as a matter of Christian discipleship... As a matter of Christian discipleship, he would have an agonizing decision about whether to vote for a Mormon or not, because it would cause people to be led astray, join the cult, and go to hell. I mean, that's basically what he believes. And so where I'm going with that is, if I can remember where I was going with that, is that I think if a president is a member of our faith, it will be a mixed bag for the church. It's probably going to aim. Enough people will dislike what he does and dislike Mormonism. As many people who are impressed favorably will be impressed the other way, too. If you look at how divided the country is now about President Bush, I'm not sure that's going to be any better with a President Romney. So I'm not so sure that it's going to be an across-the-board win for the church if he's elected president.
John Dillon, do you find it an acceptable notion of Mormons in the mainstream? That's a difficult one for a lot of Mormons. They find themselves wanting to, in fact, the essence of them is, in fact, out of the mainstream. What do you think?
Yeah, On the one hand, I like clarity. I don't want to be confused anymore. I want people to know what they do and don't believe. On the other hand, I have a real sympathy for this situation because I don't want to see the church weakened. I don't want to see the church diluted. I don't want to see Mormons lose their identity. And so the extent to which Romney and some of these doctrinal issues are raised, I don't want to see what might happen is that Romney distances himself from these things, the church distances themselves from these things, and then Mormons sort of start feeling like, well, we're not really that unique, and all of a sudden we become a weaker version of what we once were. I don't aspire for that. I don't want that to happen. It's no fun to watch a train wreck happen. So I wish the church well, and I wish Romney well. My greatest hope is that Romney will be elected president. He'll do a fantastic job. He'll show integrity. He'll show family values. He'll show empathy and Christ-like love and take our country in an absolutely fantastically new direction. That's my hope. I would love to see that happen. My fear, and my only fear, is that he'll be Lyndon B. Johnson part two. That basically he'll be the guy that gets us in a quagmire. He doubles Guantanamo, supports torture, and in the end, takes us in a place. I may be misrepresented.
We're going off topic here. We could be here all night long.
You could.
My fear is that Mormons will be associated with bad things that he might do as president if bad things happen or he takes us in a bad direction. So I'm very hopeful, but I do have some fears.
Quick, what religion was Ronald Reagan? Does that answer your question?
Let me.
I have actually a couple things I'd like to say on this topic. I'm sort of a Unitarian Mormon.
How many more Unitarian Mormons do we have, by the way? Yeah.
Somebody the other day said, you know, what does UU stand for? And I said, well, you know, to somebody from Utah, that could have a lot of meanings. Some of us would sing four verses of Utah Man. I think the church has been undergoing an evolution for quite some time. In preparation, one could say, one could argue, I would be the last one to argue that, in preparation for the fact that Mitt was likely to run for the presidency beginning back in 1993. President Hinckley's reign has moved us more to the mainstream. That may make a lot of people in the church uncomfortable. It does not make me uncomfortable at all. I'm very, very comfortable with the directions that the church is moving in, and I think that Mitt's candidacy in that context builds a much bigger tent that incorporates people like me and all those UU people out there, UUMs out there for the long haul. Does it put in perspective some of the doctrines that have always been difficult to get at, like what does it mean when we say, as man is God once was, as God is man may become? What does that really mean, and how does that play out? And the answer, the bottom line answer, every time I've discussed it, it takes 5 hours, and you always end up with at the end of the road saying, who the hell knows? Mm. It puts a box around those kinds of issues, and to say, well, those are things that we really don't understand very well. Has it forced the church to take a more deliberate stand on where we were with the black policy? I think the church has done a pretty good job of. They haven't apologized for that policy, but they've come doggone close to it in saying what was the words that President Hinckley used a couple of conferences ago. Any man who believes that we should that somebody because of his skin color is not qualified to hold any office is just completely wet. Those weren't his words, obviously, but that was the message he conveyed. That's good news to people like me who became a UUM precisely because of that particular issue. So I see the Mormon moment as being a great moment in terms of the evolution of the church.
Let me put the final question to Rod Decker. You think the Mormon theme is going to play out and the media is going to move on? What do you see?
No, I think Mormonism's important. It, so long as he's there, Mormonism's important. It'll end if he loses the nomination or pulls out. It'll continue if he wins the nomination. I think it'll be an important factor in the general election. I think if he's elected, it'll be an important factor for a while in his presidency. Maybe for the whole of his presidency. Maybe after a while, people get mad at him for something else.
Okay. Gentlemen, thanks very much. Okay. No, I think that. Let's everybody sit down. We're going to have a closing hymn and a